Hey, everybody. Joe Biden is sworn in as president. Here are instant remarks as it happens and what we hope out of a Biden-Harris presidency. That's right. We are holding out hope for something. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Joe Biden is president. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
I'm very excited to talk to you about a new book that is coming out this month from my dear friend, a great American, and one of my top mentors, Jim Holden. He's a best-selling author, a member of the Turning Point Endowment, and a very clear thinker. So listen carefully. Selling in an Anxious World is Jim's fifth book on selling strategies and best practices. This time, Jim brings together research, science, and observation to identify the leading cause of declining business-to-business sales, also known as corporate culture. I had the great honor of contributing to a chapter of Selling in an Anxious World through my work with Turning Point. I'm in a unique position to observe academic culture within our colleges and relate it to the corporate world, particularly its impact on company culture. In today's world, good company culture requires vigilant protection, which is why this book is so timely and a must-read for business people, sellers, patriots, and Christians. Selling in an Anxious World combines research from extensive deal reviews, examples from Jim's personal life, and Bible references to shine a light on culture, presenting an unconventional guide to solving an unconventional problem. You'll get quick access to whatever topics are important to you through chapter summaries and reference guides. Jim Holden's book is not like any other business book out there, so go to sellingcharlie.com. That's sellingcharlie.com, and use the special code Charlie to get a discount. Again, my dear friend, Jim Holden, we're going to have him on the podcast talking about this book. And send me some of your thoughts at freedom@charliekirk.com. Again, that's Selling in an Anxious World by Jim Holden, a must-read for everyone. It is official. President Joe Biden is the 46th president of the United States. And so that is obviously not an outcome that we wanted on this program. We are not surprised, obviously, as things in the last couple of weeks were pointing to that. But it's just hard to say goodbye to President Trump after all the good he did to our country.
It absolutely is. And I'm glad we took the time yesterday to go through and sort of highlight the greatest accomplishments of the Trump administration. If you guys haven't watched that episode or you didn't listen live, you should go check it out.
So there's a lot to unpack from that speech. And he predictably talked about unifying the country. But what is his definition of unity is a question that I think he needs to answer. He doesn't answer questions at all from the press. Is unity, whereas we are going to understand that people have differences of opinions but still come together on shared values? Or is it the Soviet style of unity where it's more unity is the absence of opposition? And I am very skeptical when Joe Biden comes out with very little to any crowd, 25,000 troops in D.C. and says democracy won. Something about that feels a little bit not exactly normal. I understand there's a pandemic and I understand stuff happened in the Capitol, but just the imagery of it and the visual was not like any other inauguration we've ever seen. And so there's a lot I want to unpack from that speech. I'm an American first. Before I'm a conservative, I'm a Christian first and an American. Let me rephrase that. But when it comes to caring about the country, it comes before my political beliefs. I really hope Joe Biden was telling the truth. I'm enormously skeptical. I believe that Joe Biden probably was lying there. But it's a new president. I'm going to do something the liberals never did. I'm going to say, let's see what happens. And he's already told us what he's going to do today. So it's already worthy of some pushback. However, I'm going to give him a chance. If he really says, let's unify the country, that was one of the most inherently contradicting speeches I've heard. And maybe he means parts of it where he said very clearly, let's talk to each other again. Let's have conversations. You know, maybe not everyone's a bad person. Well, okay, President Biden, that's fine. What about the 75 million Trump voters out there? And he says, even if you didn't vote for me, I'll represent you. Okay, then I would expect your entire government not to launch an entire new domestic war on terror, as Glenn Greenwald has warned us about. He actually said that that's something he is nearly planning on doing in the coming weeks and months. He said that this is a, I'm paraphrasing, he basically was saying this is a struggle and we're going to win. Is that about right, Isabel? I don't want to, you know, misstate it.
Yeah, struggle against what he called extremism several times in that speech. And I think you hit the nail right on the head, Charlie, in that this was a very contradictory set of words presented to the American people. We heard a lot about unity and bringing the country together, but a sentence later we would be hearing about extremism, white supremacy, racism that is allegedly raging through the nation right now and must be addressed with basically regulating this new domestic terrorism.
Right. And so that is going to be a primary focus of his administration, which runs a little bit contrary to the idea of unifying the country. And I guess his counter argument would be these are such terrible and extreme voices and forces. However, that's not the way any of the media or any of the coverage has been carrying it. In fact, even the Washington Post yesterday, I think I sent this yesterday in one of our kind of show prep areas. And it said, quote, federal prosecutors in Washington have charged more than 100 defendants in the past 13 days. But arrests this weekend of several people with alleged ties to extremist groups, including the Oath Keepers, Proud Boys, and Three Percenters, have offered evidence that the riots were not entirely an impulsive outburst of violence, but an event instigated or exploited by organized groups. Hours of video on social media poured over show investigators have focused on individuals in military-style gear moving together. And so this seems to be something that is focused much more on extremist groups that really are not really rooted in political ideology at all whatsoever. And so, look, there's a moment right now where Joe Biden can push back against the most radical forces of the Democrat Party. I'm incredibly skeptical that he's going to do that. There will be a moment, and he didn't mention this at all in his speech, of any of the positives of the Trump administration. I don't think he mentioned Trump at all or the administration prior. It's kind of just the abolition of history that came before us. And the tone and the tenor of the speech, I think, was intentional because that's what the country is desiring. Is that actually what is going to happen? I'm incredibly skeptical of that.
I am as well, Charlie. And actions speak so much louder than words, especially when it comes to political and public service. We already know a bit of what President Biden is planning on doing today during his first day in office. And almost all of those actions are centered around repealing anything that was an advancement from the Trump administration.
That's right. And so he talked a fair amount about the virus. And quite honestly, he didn't talk in very much specifics. Sometimes in the speeches, a president will use all of the fanfare to say, I'm calling on Congress to do the following. He didn't really do that. Instead, the two major themes were definitely on the virus, and the second was on the threat of domestic terrorism. He did not lay out any form of specific agenda items at all whatsoever, where most times that is something that usually presidents will do in their inaugural address. And so the question is, which Joe Biden is it going to be? Is it going to be the Joe Biden who says, I'm going to be a president for all Americans? Or is it going to be the Joe Biden that operates like Barack Obama and when he sent the IRS after conservative groups, when he did gun running with Fast and Furious, when he tried to give amnesty to millions of people, which Joe Biden has already signaled what he's going to do? And so it'd be one thing if Joe Biden gave a fiery grassroots progressive speech today. He didn't. So Joe Biden has now set the threshold. He has now put himself in a position where he says he wants to govern as a moderate, basically, was that speech was today. I am not going to necessarily govern from the right or for the left. Now, mind you, the speech was awfully depressing and dystopian. I mean, it was just a list of everything, how terrible everything was, and things are not necessarily good in a lot of different ways. I'm a Christian first, then an American, then a conservative. I want to see Joe Biden succeed. I do. I'm not going to do what the liberals did. From the moment Donald Trump was sworn into office, they were having rallies planned the next day with Madonna saying, I have thought about blowing up the White House. It's not going to happen. Now, we are going to watch very closely and carefully as Joe Biden lays out his policy agenda, as his rhetoric starts to become clear and his administration takes form. Obviously, I'm unbelievably skeptical that anything he will do will actually benefit our country, not to mention the suspicious Chinese ties that he has Hunter Biden was there. I think that's going to disappear rather quickly, if I were to guess. However, every president deserves a moment where we just say, okay, show us what you got. And his opening moment was, I'm going to be a moderate president, right?
I'm going to be a president for all Americans, he said, regardless of whether or not you voted for me. Again, I'm skeptical to see if that comes to fruition, and actions speak a lot louder than words. But it seems to me that the Biden-Harris administration doesn't necessarily have their own agenda quite yet. Honestly, it just appears that their agenda is defeating anything that Trump has done over the last 4 years.
That's right. And also, it seems the only two things that they really mentioned in their agenda speech, if you could call it that, was fighting domestic terrorism alongside kind of getting the virus under control. He said this is a dark winter. I mean, it was kind of a depressing speech in more ways than one. And so that's the moment that we're in. And so in the next couple of hours, President Biden has pledged to sign a variety of executive actions. One of the first things he is planning to do is to sign an executive action saying no new wall on the southern border.
Right.
Which runs contrary to the idea of being a president for all Americans. They call illegal entry into the United States regional migration. Is that right?
Regional migration. That's the new buzzword.
He is also planning to sign a variety of executive orders to get us back, I think, into the Paris Climate Accord, Trans-Pacific Partnership, and his administration is already negotiating on behalf of our country with the largest state sponsor of terror, Iran. Is that correct?
Correct. We're also expected to rejoin the World Health Organization sometime within the next few days and move towards 100% renewable energy and net zero emissions by 2050, reversing the travel ban instated by President Trump and canceling the permit for the Keystone Pipeline, just to name a few.
So let's go to some clips from President Biden's speech. I think it's 65. Cut 65 here, and then I want to follow it up with a clip from Glenn Greenwald. Play cut 65, then cut 66, please.
Now, a rise of political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism that we must confront and we will defeat.
So what's the danger in that? It sounds good, right? Well, political extremism. How do you define that? How do you define political extremist? Labels like that can easily be thrown on people like Isabel and I. In fact, they're thrown on our students all the time at Turning Point USA, wrongly and baselessly, because they are inherently subjective terms. And I agree, white supremacy is disgusting and awful. Define it for me, Joe, because it's not as simple as you might think. Glenn Greenwald understands this, and he said on Tucker Carlson, this very well might be the gateway to a new security state. Play tape.
Well, one thing I think that we're clearly seeing is the initiation of a new war on terror, which I don't say lightly. I say that because the Biden administration, what will be the Biden administration in about a week, is saying explicitly that they want, first of all, a new law to further criminalize domestic terrorism, even though every act that constitutes domestic terrorism is already criminalized. What they want to do is increase their power to monitor political groups, to infiltrate them, to criminalize activities that currently are not criminalized, nor should they be, whether it be advocacy of speech or other things. They're saying they want a new law similar to the way that the 9/11 attack and the emotions surrounding it was instantly seized upon to institute a whole series of new laws that endure to this very day.
A domestic surveillance state and security state, some of which these proposals have already been put forward. We got an email at freedom@charliekirk.com from Keith. Charlie, I always value your opinion, but I'm sorry you're naive if you think Joe Biden will succeed or ever do anything good for the country. He has over 40 years of being a self-centered politician. You know darn well he's going to do, because he's not even hiding it. Look, I agree. I'm inherently skeptical of this entire operation, not operation, the presidency. And I said that. However, I am not going to do what the liberals did, which is instantaneously bias myself from day one when a new president comes into office. We criticize liberals for that. We told liberals, give Trump a chance. Give Trump a chance. Okay, let's see what executive actions Joe Biden signs in the next hour.
Yeah.
Let's see what he's got. And because I was there at the inauguration 4 years ago for President Trump, and we were so excited and we wanted it to be a moment where President Trump had an opportunity to govern. What did the liberals do? They launched a coup from inside our government. And even on inauguration day, there were plans to entrap Michael Flynn. So in the midst of the inauguration, there were already plans well underway. And we thought that was disgusting and detestable. And so we're not going to do that, obviously. But we are now going to just give a moment. And the moment might be a couple hours until Joe Biden proves exactly the radical agenda he's going to do. I think it's very, very important that we as conservatives, when we levy a criticism against the left, that we don't also embody that same criticism. Okay, I want to go to some more sound here. But before I do, the China Xinhua, how do you say that?
Oof.
Yeah.
Xinhua news, maybe? Yeah.
It says, good riddance, Donald Trump. China is very, very happy that Donald Trump is no longer president of the United States, as you probably can imagine. And so I would love to have Joe Biden become this moderate. I'd love Joe Biden to stand up against the most radical forces to say, you know what, we're not going to start a new domestic security state. That not every single person that was in Washington, D.C. on January the 6th was a domestic terrorist. Maybe we are going to take a pause and try to be a president for all Americans. Nobody in his camp is talking that way.
No, in
him.
Fact, they're speaking the exact extreme opposite way. We're seeing people refer to all individuals who voted for President Trump as radicalized terrorists. We're being told that conservative influencers need to be reined in because it's dangerous that they have an audience that's larger than daytime CNN. They're spreading misinformation. Well, I can assure you, at least on this program, we do our due diligence with research and we always tell the truth, even if it's hard for people to hear. And if the truth is all of a sudden a euphemism for disinformation and misinformation, that's when we have a problem in this country.
No doubt. And so Joe Biden really didn't say much, to be honest. Nothing that he really didn't say in his president-elect speech. But I also saw that, and you kind of see this in some of the imagery on the live stream in your bottom right-hand corner, there's Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez chatting with Barack Obama. Bill Clinton is there. Did Bill Clinton make it through the entire speech? I don't know.
He looked a little tired.
And there's Joe Manchin, soon to be the most powerful man in Washington, D.C., walking through there. What I did see, though, is kind of from an appearance, and this is just from watching a couple minutes of footage, kind of that kind of chummy bipartisan ruling class seemed to be back in charge. Would you agree?
Absolutely. They all seemed very excited to be back together again, all celebrating the inauguration of one of their old buddies.
Yeah, it seemed as if Republicans and Democrats alike seemed a little bit happy that they could breathe easy, that all of a sudden the borders can remain open, the corporations will largely go unchallenged, that the trade deals will not get renegotiated, that the endless wars will remain endless, and that this kind of 4 years of a hiccup to their master plan is now over. Look, when running a very big business, HR issues can kill you, or a small business. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and more. And HR manager salaries are never cheap. They're an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, there are no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time in HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/Kirk right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/Kirk. Spell BAM to the BEE.com/Kirk. And so continue to email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to get to some more sound here from the speech. Exiting the Capitol Rotunda looks to be Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House. How much longer she'll be a Speaker of the House, we do not know. And at this moment, probably President Biden is heading to the White House. This is a great take from Seth Dillon. I want to say the left believes they own the truth. If you disagree with them, you're spreading misinformation, period. That's why they call for unity, not for liberty. Very important point. Freedom to disagree, from their perspective, is freedom to lie. And that will not be tolerated by this administration. That's exactly right. That's a really good take. That if you dare say anything outside of what the status quo decrees, then you're somehow an existential threat to the country and with it, the administration.
And I noticed specifically in the language of this speech, several times the phrase our truth was referenced, not the truth. And that speaks so eloquently to this take from Seth Dillon. Well done, Seth. This is great analysis. But the reality is the left is operating in this situation where truth is completely subjective. Mm-hmm. My truth is different from your truth and everyone can live in their own reality, whereas the truth is no longer relevant. That's considered misinformation and lies.
That's exactly right. And so one of our emails here from Kevin says, though it's hard, please keep encouraging viewers to take the high road and not be vulgar like the left. I agree. I'm going to try to embody that myself. That does not mean that you have to agree or you have to continue in complete, you know, obedience to whatever Joe Biden says as president. With that being said, we are not the left, okay? And we are not arbiters of chaos. We are going to continue to embody exactly what we believe, which is hopefully decency and respect. And that's the moment that we are affording the president right now, Joe Biden. And the moment he starts signing all these executive orders, then okay, then we're going to settle in and we're going to start to go piece by piece and dissect it. But he was given an opening argument. President Trump was never even given a transition or an opening argument. When President Donald Trump gave the speech at the inauguration, that was at 4 years ago. The moment he came down, the coup was already in place. What do I mean by the coup? I mean to entrap Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. I mean all the different security state forces, all of that were already in motion, all of it. The kind of probing of the Logan Act, it was in place before the inauguration even started. And so we thought that was an outrage, remember? We've complained about that, rightfully so, for years. And so we're better than that. And we should always be better than that. And not, just kind of the throwing around of vile language is not going to do us anything. I understand people are angry. I understand you're upset. I understand there were mountains of shenanigans and unanswered questions and tomfoolery and nonsense that continued on while we were just told, sit down and shut up. You don't allow, you know, you shouldn't have your questions answered. And a forum that we wanted to see that happen was interrupted, obviously, on January the 6th, tragically. And, really unexpectedly. We will keep the feed going in what feels just darker than usual. Maybe it's the masks. Maybe it's the distancing. I don't know. It just does not feel celebratory. Even the people involved doesn't feel like they're celebrating, right?
No, it feels so solemn. I said earlier, it sort of felt like everyone was at a funeral. People seemed very sad. A lot of people are wearing black masks, and it seemed very sad.
On the live feed here is Hillary Rodham Clinton, who never became president of the United States. That will go down as one of Donald Trump's greatest accomplishments, taking pictures with Bill Clinton and they are walking through the hallway there. So Joe Biden has announced his day one actions. Day one. Let's see if this will unite the country. Rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement, which will heavily impose limitations on oil and natural gas production. Repeal Trump's travel ban in the midst of a pandemic. Halt border wall construction. Mask mandate. Extend the eviction freeze. Unveil his immigration plan just today. Extend a student loan pause and then revoke permit for Keystone XL pipeline, killing thousands of jobs.
We also heard this morning from the Biden-Harris team that they plan to rescind Trump's 1776 Commission for Education today on day one as well. So I think it's safe to expect a lot more critical race theory in classrooms across America over the next 4 years.
No doubt. Oh, how nice of Twitter to notify us. Twitter has just sent out a new notification that says there's an at new White House. Follow for the latest from the new at White House. Glad Twitter is all on board to not wanting to get broken up from the new power structure. Here's a question here. Hi, Charlie. As a Trump supporter and someone who likes to put her opinions out there, I'm scared for my freedom, my life, my family, and my country. I continue to pray and hope. But other than that, being silent and trying to hide my opinions and viewpoints, what can I do to help this country and protect myself? I just want to add that I express my opinions as factual, positive manner. Name-calling, hate speech, and accusations get us nowhere. Thanks for always being positive as possible, Sarah. Look, you know what the number one thing God told his people in the Old Testament? The number one thing? Do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid. Look, I understand fear, but fear does not come from God. Fear comes from the enemy. And fear is understandable, but fear is tempting because fear is an endless pit where you just go down. And so Here's one just logical way to handle fear. Take out a piece of paper. Write down everything you're afraid of that might possibly happen. Write it down. And then just say, am I willing to release it and just understand this is what could happen? And then God's in charge. The most free people, remember, the biblical definition of freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want whenever you want to do it. No, it's free from fear, free from sin, free from the worry of possibly being a slave to something that you're not in control of. Therefore, surrender yourself and say, you know what? I'm going to do everything I possibly can, but there might be, you know, dark forces that end up not working in my manner or fashion. Fear is understandable. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't all of a sudden stop being afraid, but fear will get you nowhere here. And so I encourage everyone to, you know, read the Bible every night. The more you read the Bible, the more it reads you. And it's the only book, the more you read it, the more it will read you. And understand that in James 1, it says very clearly, consider it a pure joy. Consider it a pure joy. We're under trial. What is that all about? Like, I don't like that part. I want a pity party. I want to feel sorry for myself. I want to do like the left-wing oppression Olympics. And here's the thing, everybody. The more joy, the more cheer, the more positivity that we endure through this moment, the more it's going to drive the left nuts. They want to see us do the meme where we just kind of, we're not going to do it. It's not going to happen, okay? Because we still live in a beautiful country. We're still talking. And if you're hearing us, that means we still have the ability to communicate. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to break our will, no matter what they throw at us, okay? Throw everything at us. And for those of you that are like recklessly calling for violence and nonsense in our comments, cut it out now. There is no place for that whatsoever. There is no place on January the 6th, and there's no place right now. Just stop it. And that's not needed to be repeated. It just needed to be said because, you know, some people are emailing us about some of the things that are being said in the comments. It's a bunch of nonsense. As Hillary Rodham Clinton walks in her full purple pantsuit.
I've noticed a lot of purple today, Charlie.
Purple
is
the color
of the
royals. Do you
think it's for unity or royalty?
It is the Roman color of the royals, which is what they used to wear. Hillary very upset that she never became president. And so, look, take this moment as an opportunity. What could possibly be the positive out of this moment? I mean, I'm looking at President Biden, Vice President Harris. What can we possibly have? Well, number one, you can either laugh or cry. And laughing is a lot better for your health. Thanks so much, everybody. If you want to get involved, go to tpusa.com, Turning Point USA, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win America's culture war. Email us your questions, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.